Hello, Podheads, and welcome back to another episode of Over My Dead Pod. I'm your host, Holly Spear.
This is Kate Carter, and that is it.
You like our new intro?
Oh man, that's good. Okay.
Podheads, get
You guys
it?
had you heard that, right? Podheads, POD
Podheads.
heads.
That's our fan base is Podheads. That's what we'll call you guys.
So
Shout out.
thank you, Podheads, for all being here. This is now what we're going to call you guys. If you don't like it, don't really care. Keep listening. Love you. I was going to say, we appreciate you guys for listening. Thanks for
Appreciate.
this year.
Yes,
It's
we've
been
had such a
great.
good year. I think we had 98% growth on our Spotify Wrapped. So that
Whoa.
was freaking awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening. As usual, send this to your true crime loving friends. And we love to see you guys and talk to you guys and interact in the comments and yada yada. So
Appreciate y'all.
as Kate sips her homemade espresso martini, get it?
Yeah, I've decided, you know what? Kylie's not here today, so I'm just gonna get messed up. I'm
Oh,
gonna
she's
listen to your
wildin'.
story. We're gonna get wild, and I'm probably gonna interrupt you 100 times.
No, I love it. Please do. Today's a and I hate to put a damper on it because today's a sad one.
Oh,
Oh,
is it? You know I love a good one though.
is a good one. It is a very informative one, and it's different. So I think you guys will maybe not like it, but appreciate it, if that makes sense.
Got
Anyways,
you. We got you, fam. Let's do
yeah.
it.
So, little disclaimer before we start, small disclaimer. I recently had the opportunity to visit Israel, as
Yep,
we talked
yep.
about on the last overtime, and it was just an amazing experience. I can't really express how life-changing it really was, but one of the things that I had the opportunity to do was learn about the terrorist attacks that happened there on October 7th. And I actually had the opportunity to visit the Nova Music Festival site, as well as a kibbutz that was attacked. And I saw hundreds of posts and photos, memorials of murdered victims' faces on them with their stories attached, their last text messages to their families and loved ones. It was hard because I saw young people that looked like they just looked like us, you know? They looked like a normal 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds people just living their normal lives, and they had been killed in a terrorist attack. And I think we think it's so far from things that happen today, or at least that's how I think of it. But just because I think we're blessed to live in a place where we don't experience the kind of terror that they do on a daily basis. So it was kind of a surreal opportunity for me. I heard the horrific stories of the unimaginable true crimes that happened to them. So I know the story's a little different from the true crime we talk about because it's a terrorist attack. But it's also just that it's true crime. And I would be remiss if I didn't come home and tell the true crime stories that I got to see and hear firsthand from victims and their families.
Snaps for you, Holly. Honestly, this is not your kind of story.
It's
Just
not.
throwing it out there. And I could almost cry right now. I'm proud of you because this shit needs to be talked about
Yeah.
because it's not happening in our country doesn't mean it's not happening. And if it was happening in our country, y'all would be flipping shit. Okay. So we need to talk about it.
Yeah. So as you know, this podcast is not about politics. Obviously, you know that if you've been here for half a millisecond, but we're here to tell the true crime stories and their impact on human lives. So to be clear, on October 7th, Hamas, a group designated as a terrorist organization by Israel, the United States, and many other countries, carried out a brutal and deliberate attack of terrorism against innocent civilians in Israel. This episode focuses on the human tragedy of that day. Regardless of political beliefs, the massacre of hundreds of unarmed civilians, the taking of hostages, and the devastation of families and communities were indescribable crimes against humanity. While I acknowledge that there are deep complexities of this region today, this story is highlighting the horrors of October 7th and its continued impact on Israel and those who lived through it. So, starting off, this is the story of Tal Shamoni. The Nova Music Festival is an annual celebration of music, art, and community. It draws thousands of attendees from around the globe. It's held in the picturesque southern region of Israel. The festival is known for its lineup of electronic and dance music, and it features renowned DJs and performers. More than just a concert, Nova embodies a spirit of freedom, joy, and connection, offering festival goers a chance to party and dance under the sky. surrounded by the desert landscapes. It's a place where people come together to celebrate life and share moments of creativity and really immerse themselves. However, in 2023 edition of the Nova Music Festival, it took a tragic turn. What began as a night of music and celebration soon became the site of one of the most harrowing and heartbreaking events in recent history. Friday night, October 6th, more than 3,000 people congregated at the Supernova Music Festival. The plan was to party all night, and then the morning sunrise would be the peak of the festival. Paul is a part of trance culture. And what is that? She explains it on an interview that she had with AJC. And she explains that it's a kind of music. It's the heartbeat of a unique and vibrant culture. It's a genre of electronic music that made its way to Israel sometime in the 1980s, and it's originally influenced by the sounds and scenes of India. Over time, it grew into a significant and thriving subculture in Israel, creating a massive community of music lovers. Every weekend, there are around 20 trance parties held in nature across the country, all celebrating the culture. Trance is more than just music. It represents a lifestyle rooted in liberal, free-spirited values, often intertwined with yoga or like the wellness world. It's global, it's inclusive, it emphasizes peace, love, and connection. At international trance festivals, participants leave national identities at the door. Flags representing communities aren't even allowed. Instead, people are encouraged to bring symbols of love, unity, or just like personal community symbols. The idea is just to foster a judgment-free space and a community where everyone belongs, no matter where they come from. This Nova site tribe embodies these principles, striving to create a world built on the shared values of inclusivity, peace, and joy. Tal's been going to these festivals and nature parties since she was 15 years old, and she went to her first international one when she was only 19, and now she's 25 years old at this time. She's been living in Berlin for the last 3.5 years, and through some friends, Tal gets connected to a man named Nimrod Armin, or Nini to Tal. That's what she calls him. And Nini is one of the producers of this Nova Festival. So since Tal lives in Berlin now, she's just decided that every time she visits Israel, she's going to set the trip up in a way that she can go to the Nova Festival. So it's like kind of a dual thing. She can go home, see family, and then she can also hit up that festival. So the next date for this Nova Festival is going to be October 6th and 7th, but Tal's actually not planning on attending this one. And that is until she gets a call from the Nova producer that she calls Dove. He needs Tal's help. He's trying to create this kind of like new ecological project at the festival where they're going to be providing reusable cups, reusable trash bags, and then they kind of separate the plastic trash from the non-plastic. It's basically like a recycling project is what it sounded like to me. And I think that Tal has some experience in this, maybe back in Berlin. So she's kind of recruited to help out at this festival. She's not planning on going, but she's like, okay, yeah, like I'll go ahead and go. I'll go a little bit early. I'll see my family and then I'll go to the festival. It'll work out. So Tal arrives in Israel on October 2nd. And on that Friday, she has her Shabbat dinner with her family. And a Shabbat dinner is a traditional Jewish meal that marks the beginning of the Sabbath. It's their weekly day of rest, their spiritual reflection, and they observe it from sunset on Friday to nightfall on Saturday. It's just a time for family, friends, community, their religion to just come together. So Tal's boyfriend's actually one of the leaders of the production as well. So he's already at the Nova Festival by the time she gets done with her family stuff, and he and his car are already there. So she gets a ride to the festival. She gets there and her boyfriend's already been working a lot while she's there. I think she arrives at like 12:30 at night. So he's like ready to go take a little nap, and he's going to hand his shift off to her. And it's about 5:45 a.m. I just can't imagine like this up all night and then you get up. I know people do that, like even here, you know, these like rave festival. I just can't, like,
you know, I was literally just talking to one of my family members today how I haven't stayed up for New Year's Eve for the ball drop since I was 22.
That's actually
I can't make it to midnight.
You're an old soul, like you're an in bed early kind of person and up early. But these are 20, these people are our age, you know, she's 25, she's around our age, she's living her best life. So it's around 5:45 and their friend Yaron, also known under his DJ name Artifacts, and he's about to play. So they're all friends with him. So Tall goes to wake up her boyfriend and she's really excited for, him to get up and DJ. So she wakes up her boyfriend. She's like, "Hey, let's go dance. The sun's about to rise and it's about to be the end of the festival. It's the peak. Like, let's, go get it." They both go out to the huge dance floor. Obviously, it's in the middle of the desert. The sun is about to be coming up. So apparently, Israeli sunsets, especially in the desert, are one of the most beautiful things that you'll see. So the atmosphere is just magical at this point. It's 6:20 and her boyfriend asks if he'll go to the bathroom with her. So they go to the bathroom and they come out of the bathroom, and that is the point where they see the first missile in the sky. Tall turns to her boyfriend to ask, "Didn't you say that there was a ceasefire?" But before she could even finish her sentence, hundreds of missiles blazed in the sky above their heads. Tall said that the missiles felt close to her head and she could literally feel the echo of the Iron Dome disarming the missiles. Now, as I understand it, and I really don't understand all of it at all, but the Iron Dome is designed to primarily protect populated areas and critical infrastructure of Israel. So the Iron Dome is expensive, and each interceptor costs tens and thousands of dollars. So they try to focus on high-risk areas, just to be like cost effective. So sometimes it's my understanding that missiles will fall on places that are unpopulated, like open fields. And that's where they're at. So Tal and her boyfriend at this moment are trying to decide if they should run or if they should take shelter around the field. They hear the music abruptly stop, and a security guard comes over the loudspeaker saying that there is a red alert, which means missiles. They instruct people to leave the party and to get in their cars and get to a safe space. Tal's trying to decide if she should stay with the rest of the production members or if she should go seek shelter. Tall begins to have a panic attack, and her boyfriend is able to lead her out of the party and into his car. She's unable to walk or talk. She said that all she is able to say was the name of her dog. They take the emergency exit out of the event space, and there are about 2,000 cars on the road, and there's no other way out. They decide at the last minute to take a left turn towards the north, and they are able to drive away. They head towards the production house that the team had rented because it was the closest place that they knew how to get to. They would soon find out what they escaped was more than just a missile attack. The first sign of trouble was a massive rocket barrage launched by Hamas from Gaza. The barrage was designed to overwhelm Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system, ensuring that some rockets would inevitably bypass interception and strike Israeli targets. Some festival attendees initially mistook the rockets for fireworks, which led to a delayed response by some. Some sought shelter or remained outdoors. The Nova site was isolated and not equipped with missile warning sirens. While rockets distracted Israeli defenses, over 2,000 Hamas militants launched a coordinated ground assault. Using explosives, bulldozers, motorcycles, and paragliders, they breached Israel's heavy fortified border at multiple points, around 60 locations in total. Paragliders, a rarely seen tactic, landed directly at the festival, while other militants arrived in trucks and motorcycles armed with rifles, grenades, and other weapons. The Nova Festival, located just a few kilometers from the Gaza border, was one of the first sites attacked. The militants likely chose it due to its proximity and large gathering of unarmed civilians and the element of surprise. As the festival descended into chaos, attendees fled to their cars trying to escape the area. However, the militants set up ambush along the roadways, firing at vehicles and blocking exits.
I'm being a little more quiet this episode, and not because this isn't a great episode, but this makes me sick to my stomach. This kind of, like the fact
Yeah.
this is stuff that nightmares are made of. And like I feel like us, which we tend to put ourselves in like the victim's position or the killer's position in the stories to like feel it that way. But in this scenario, like it, not, we had our the Vegas shooting in a few years back, which is something we'll probably talk about at the end of the episode. But can you fucking imagine being in this scenario? And when things are happening like this, like it's not a gunman, it's missiles coming down. You can't, for the most part, you cannot run.
No, and it's just a wide open field, and then there end up being gunmen, and it's just like
You're
there's nowhere
trapped.
to hide. There's no way
Right.
to defend yourself. It's actually so horrific. It's just actually unimaginable.
I'm not talking a lot because I feel a lot of anxiety in my chest, and
Yeah.
Sure, it's probably half espresso martini, half the story, but this just is something that,
Yeah.
you know, we talk about a lot of murders and stuff like this, but terrorist attacks are on a whole different level.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's just like I went back and forth, was like, doesn't fit our narrative. Like, it's different than what we do. But I'm
Oh,
like, at the end of the
100%.
day, it's true crime. Like, it is
100%.
true crime on a massive scale. It's the worst of the worst. So I was like, I have to do it. So anyways, what they told us when we did the tour was that the paragliders actually had no intentions. They didn't know about the Nova site. It was just by coincidence that they were paragliding over and saw just a huge cluster of people, civilians, what they knew to be civilians, having this party, the perfect storm for them to just drop
That's
down.
nuts. But I
Yeah.
guess Israel wasn't also, I mean, I'm not informed about this, but like they're not shooting them down. I mean, I don't, you know, like I don't.
No, they're not. And I think that a lot of people saw this as kind of a maybe like a negligence a little bit on their on the people who are supposed to be watching this to know. And we did hear about some soldiers who did see this going on and tried to warn and tried to, but it was so many things going on at one time. They had the missiles and they had people breaking down the borders with trucks and coming in with motorcycles. It was just an attack from like all different angles. And I don't think that they were prepared to respond.
No, not at all.
So you have 2,000 cars trying to get out, and there's one way out. And they just end up massacring these people who have made it to their cars, while other people who didn't make it to their cars are also being massacred from the opposite direction. Over the next several hours, they fired at festival goers, hunted down those hiding in shelters or fields, and took hostages. Some victims barricaded themselves in the cars or made makeshift shelters, only to be discovered and executed. Survivors reported hearing shouts in Arabic, explosions, and relentless gunfire as the attackers moved systematically through the site. An estimated 260 people were killed at the festival alone. That doesn't include the people killed when they left the festival in the cities, in the kibbutzes. That's just the festival. It's not the whole October 7th attack. And dozens of attendees from the festival were taken hostage and transported into Gaza. The attack on the Nova Festival was part of a larger coordinated attack by Hamas, which killed over 1,200 people across southern Israel, including civilians and soldiers, and led to the capture of more than 200 hostages. An estimated 44 festival goers were kidnapped, hundreds more were injured, and they were physically, sexually, and psychologically wounded. This makes it the deadliest day for Jews since the Holocaust. Luckily, Tal and her boyfriend did not stop at any of the safe houses on the side of the road because these places became death traps and convenient for places for terrorists to just pepper with bullets. And we'll talk about those a little bit in later. Tal and her boyfriend arrive at this rent house, and their phone becomes flooded with messages from their friends at the festival. Tal's best friend, who is working the festival entrance, calls, and Tal can hear gunshots in the background. She tells her, "I have to ditch my car. I have to call you later. Bye." And she hangs up. She will continue to get notifications from others informing her as each of her friends at the event are murdered or wounded. At 8:30, Tal gets a call from that same friend. She's running in an open field, and Tal spots terrorists behind her and tells her to run, run as fast as she can, and that she loves her. The friend realizes she's being chased. She says that she loved Tal back, and she starts running. The call ends, and Tal knew that this was goodbye. So another story that I have for you today is the story of Eitan Hali. For Eitan, the Nova Festival was supposed to be a break, a chance to unwind and have fun with his friends before the school year started. Tickets were affordable, and for a group of 20-something-year-olds still searching for a job, it was the perfect escape. His friends all packed in his car and they headed south, driving toward Beersheba. Eitan, like most young people in Israel, had been a part of the Israeli army. Driving towards the festival, he knew that he was just a few kilometers from where he was once on guard, right outside of Gaza. He says, "In Israel, you grow up feeling safe in a strange way. You know that there are threats. You hear the sirens, you see the rockets, but you trust in the army, in the government. That's just how it is." The group arrives and excitedly sets up their tents. The music starts. Music is filling the air. People are drinking, celebrating throughout the night. As the sunrise approaches, as you know, the party was in full swing. But when dawn broke, The rocket shot through the air. Eden froze. I've seen rockets before, plenty of them, during my time on the border, but nothing like this. The sheer number was overwhelming. Chaos erupted. Eden and his friends ran to their car, joining a long line of vehicles trying to escape. The traffic was at a standstill and panic was setting in. Then someone shouted about another exit. Without hesitation, they turned around and drove towards the main road. That split-second decision saved their lives. Many others had turned left towards Tel Aviv and into the path of terrorists. On the road back to Beersheba, rockets rained down, forcing the group to take shelter in a roadside structure. It wasn't much, just a concrete shelter open on one side. Like every so many miles, I guess, or ever so often, there's a shelter in Israel on the roads where if the alarms go off, you can get out of your car and you can seek shelter. But it's basically just, to me, it looked like a storage container, like a concrete storage container, but with no door. It was just like open. You just would go inside. It was no, there's no closing anything. There's nothing to like shut. They get out of their car. They cram inside with dozens of others. And soon more people arrive, including a group who they said had fled terrorists shooting at their car. Eaton's heart sank. At that moment, he realized something terrible was about to happen. Moments later, car screeched to a halt outside. Voices shouted in Arabic. And then gunfire began. The terrorists opened fire at the shelter entrance, throwing grenades inside. Eaton's phone was knocked from his hand as he frantically tried to call for help. Anir, another festival goer, acted without hesitation. He picked up the live grenade and threw it back out. He didn't flinch, Eaton said. He knew exactly what he had to do to protect us, no matter the cost. For a time, Anir's bravery kept the group alive, but eventually one grenade exploded inside, sending Eaton flying. When he came to, Anir was no longer standing, and another victim, Hirsch, had lost his hand. More grenades followed. Eaton, now injured, began throwing them back himself until one exploded too close, knocking him unconscious again. When he awoke, he saw a masked terrorist standing over him, smiling. He said it was like a game to him, like he had won. Those attackers took hostages, including Hirsch, who would later be found killed in Gaza. Miraculously, Eaton was left for dead. He lay motionless in a pile of bodies, pretending to be lifeless, as terrorists sprayed bullets into the shelter before leaving. When the dust settled, only seven survivors remained, surrounded by the dead. They waited in silence, too afraid to move. "The screams haunted me," Eaton said, his voice trembling. "Some couldn't stay quiet because they were in too much pain, and then the screaming would stop." 6 hours later, help finally arrived. The father of a festival goer who was armed with a pistol had come looking for his son and managed to call for military support. Eaton was rescued, but the trauma was far from over. He was about to see what was outside of the shelter. Driving away, Eaton saw cars riddled with bullets and many victims still inside of them. "I cry in the middle of the day out of nowhere," Eaton admitted. "I have headaches, dizziness, and my hearing is damaged." This is another story of Ziv Abud, a 26-year-old Israeli attendee of the Nova Music Festival on October 7, 2023. When the attack began, Ziv, along with her fiancé, Alaya, and their friends, ran for their lives. Chaos erupted as cars jammed the narrow roads and people scattered into the fields, desperately searching for safety. Ziv and Alaya tried to escape, but soon realized that the militants were everywhere. Trapped, they made the hard decision to hide among the bodies of those who had been killed. Ziv later described the moment as surreal and terrifying, laying hopeless, hoping the attackers wouldn't notice her, while hearing the sounds of people being hunted and executed and sexually assaulted nearby. For hours, Ziv remained hiding, surrounded by death. Her fiancé was injured in the attack and later captured by Hamas. Ziv was helpless to intervene as her fiancé was taken away. Alaya was one of the dozens of hostages transported across the border into Gaza that day. When Israeli rescue forces finally arrived, Ziv was physically unharmed but deeply traumatized. The emotional toll of those hours of losing friends, witnessing everything, and fearing for her own life was overwhelming. Her story is one of survival, but it's also one of a stark reminder of the unimaginable horrors endured by thousands of festival attendees that day. The attack left a mark not just on the survivors, but on the entire nation of Israel. For Ziv, the days and months that followed were filled with grief, anxiety, and uncertainty. The trauma of the day is something that she'll carry for the rest of her life. She continues to grapple with the memories of the day and the loss of her fiance and the unrelenting trauma. Alia Konan is still a hostage in Gaza and has been there for 451 days as of this recording of this episode. 100 hostages still remain. The Nova Festival attack was not an isolated act of terror. It was part of a meticulously planned, multi-pronged attack by Hamas. Among the many horrors of October 7th, one of the most devastating was the mass abduction of civilians by Hamas. Over 200 people, including festival goers from the Nova Music Festival, families from the nearby kibbutz, and even children, were forcibly taken across the border into Gaza. For those left behind, the nightmare didn't end with the sounds of gunfire. It just continues every day as they await for answers about their loved ones. The hostages that were taken into Gaza were young people, old people, children, kids, and they're forced into captivity. Reports indicate that some hostages have been held in deep tunnels beneath Gaza, enduring unimaginable conditions. I think we heard from some hostages who had been released saying that they were unable to even stand up or see any sunlight. So for the families hearing this of the hostages, the agony is unrelenting. They continue to hold on to the slimmest threads of hope, scouring news and updates and statements from officials every day. They protest and plead with the government and even turn to international organizations, demanding that the world not forget about their loved ones. Each day without news feels like a lifetime. Efforts to secure the release of the hostages has been fought with challenges. Negotiations are ongoing. Process is painfully slow. Hamas has used the hostages as leverage, a cruel bargaining chip in the ongoing conflict. This situation has fueled anger, fear, and desperation across Israel, where every life matters deeply. The human cost of the hostage crisis is immeasurable. Survivors who escaped the initial attack carry the weight of knowing their loved ones are still trapped in Gaza. Communities rally around these families, holding vigils and organizing campaigns to keep the pressure on authorities and the global community to bring them home. They're not forgotten, but their fight is a stark reminder of the brutality of that day and the long-lasting scars that it has left on so many. The hostages in Gaza are a wound that won't heal until every last one of them is brought back. Their stories are a call to action, a plea to the world to remember their names and fight for their freedom. For their families and for all of Israel, the waiting is excruciating, but the determination to bring them home remains unshakable. So that is the story of some of the victims, very few of the victims of the October 7th attack.
Do we know, and I know obviously it's just a guesstimate because they'll never really know, but how was it, I want to say 300 to 400 people were killed in the concert?
I think that it was around 300, maybe 250.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
that
and then there's kind of a discrepancy of, are they counting people who made it out to the road or made it down the road, or are they counting just the people who were killed right in that area?
And then something like 50 hostages or something like that.
44
were taken. Yeah, 44. Wow.
Just from the festival alone. Also, one of the things that we had the opportunity to do when we went to Israel was tour a kibbutz that was very close to the Palestinian border, just as unimaginable things happened at those kibbutzes. And if you don't know, I didn't know, a kibbutz is just like a communal living area. So they all have their own individual homes. At least the one I went to, they did. And they have like a kitchen and they have specific like duties and jobs. Hamas, the terrorist, knew where they all lived and how to get to their homes and how many people were inside. And they knew everything about them. And they were able to come over and just pretty much slaughter them. If they couldn't get them out of their home, they would just burn it down or throw grenades in there. Every home in Israel has a safe room. I did talk about it a little bit in the episode, but those one thing I found just like so disturbing was those safety shelters, they didn't have a door. So when the missile, it was just like such a multi-prong attack, because when the missiles were coming in, people went and hid in those safety shelters because that's what you would do.
Yeah.
And they didn't have doors. So it was just such a convenient way for Hamas to come in and just pepper them with bullets. I mean, they just, it was just a perfect
storm. Do you think, looking at those, do you think that they were bulletproof from the outside or no?
Yeah, I think that they were because I think that they're built to withstand a missile or like shrapnel of stuff. But I don't think they don't have a door. So it's just,
As
it was
soon as you
almost
said that they were
stuck.
throwing the grenades in, I was like, yeah, it's probably fully bulletproof from the outside, which also just something to point out. I feel like we've kind of maybe we've said it before on the podcast, but in Israel, to serve in the military is something that everybody has to do, as Israelis. So I dare I say most people at those concerts had been in the Israeli military at some point too. So just imagine it's not even, you know, God forbid, you know, this happens to the USA. 92% of people or more than that, you know, wouldn't really know what was going on or how to react or stuff like this. And yet
Oh, yeah.
this still happened in a place where everybody kind of understood what they should be doing. It was just a free for all. So that's the issue, is they were out in the
Yeah.
middle of nowhere. It kind of reminds me, the location, not the actual vibe, but the location of like Burning Man. So for people who know what Burning Man is, it's out in the middle of the desert. It's literally, I mean, hours of a drive to get to Burning Man. Some people fly into Burning Man. And if the exact same thing happened at Burning Man, you're screwed.
Yeah. And some people that I was with did compare it to like Burning Man, and there's another big festival that I can't think of the name of. But yeah, it's like that. I mean, it's out in the middle of the no of nowhere, like festivals are nowadays. And I think that they were so unprepared. And I don't say that in like a way that's like demeaning. It's just they were there to celebrate love, and they don't even have like country flags. They're just out
No,
there.
these are like the people that you're like, come on, man. This is not that
Yeah.
it should happen to anybody, but
These are the,
these are
yeah,
like
the,
music hippie people.
yeah, it was just unimaginable to them, I think. So,
I mean, we'll probably, we who knows, we may get slack on this episode, we may not. It just depends. As Holly said before, we try not to push what, you know, politics, religion, stuff like that on the podcast, but sometimes it's hard to not voice your opinion and whatnot. And this definitely seems like a pro-Israel podcast episode. But that being said, killing people, especially mass murdering in this type of scenario, is never okay. Lots and lots and lots and lots of children, to also point out, are
yeah.
just brutally being murdered on both ends. And it's just, I think
I
people forget
just,
about it.
yeah, I think it's easy. I mean, that's just the revolution of our media nowadays
Yeah.
is, there's something new tomorrow.
And it's not happening to us. It's not in our country.
Yeah. So it's just so far reserved from like what we see and what we,
Yeah.
not that we don't care, but it's just like, I don't know. I also think another thing that's really scary is social media itself, just how you can use AI and you can use, like put out these fake videos and all of these things, and you just don't know what's real anymore. And
Yeah.
I think that's so scary to the narrative of this story, but also other stories. Just literally the news in general, like we don't know what's true and what's not true. Forms people's opinions. All people rely on nowadays is social media. And that's not like a dig at young people because news sites do it too. They report on stories that they don't know is fake all the time, or maybe they do.
Yeah.
But, and it's just like, I don't know, at a point, it's just, can you blame people for believing what they see if they're being fed something they don't know is not real? So I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to go and see what's going on for myself and come back and tell you guys the stories.
I'm giving you some praise, Holly. This was one of your best stories. I think it's super important for stories like this to be told, and
Definitely.
people need to talk about this shit, you know?
Yeah, and it's good to have conversations, even if you don't agree with the politics behind things. There shouldn't be any politics behind true crime in general.
Death, murder,
Unfortunately, there is,
terrorists. Yeah.
but I mean, it's real and it happened, and that's the story. So, okay,
Lord.
let's jump into overtime.
God, can we talk about like J-Lo or something?
We
Like, I
have
feel
something
like
like
we need
incredibly
to.
funny, like
I
something
know.
so freaking hilarious that like to get
Dude,
us
all
off
I'm
of
not even
this.
kidding you. All I can think about right now is, this is not good at all, but I mean, I feel like we just have to kind of talk about it. Have you seen all of the horrible plane crashes that have happened in the past week?
Girl, this is not that's not light.
Okay, what's something fun we can talk about?
What are
Because
your New Year's resolutions?
Survive. Good question, Holly. I don't even, let's see, this episode's coming out after New Year's. So we're already in 2025. Blows my mind.
Ugh,
I feel
sickening.
so freaking old. I
Disgusting.
will say, so this is the year I'm gonna choke up because I feel like I could vomit, not cry, that I will become.
No, we are supposed to be doing funny.
No. I'm gonna vomit, not cry, because I'm about to turn 30 this year.
See, that's not funny either. That's sad. That's terrible.
It's absolutely horrible, but I feel like I just need to get, well, I was going to say get my shit together. I feel like I do have my shit together, but I don't know. I haven't made
I'm
any,
getting you
I haven't even
Botox for
thought
your
that far
birthday.
ahead. I need like a week to like, or 2 weeks to figure out what my plans are for my New Year's resolution.
Yeah. Oh,
What about
gosh.
you? Do you have anything?
I want to read more. It's become increasingly
Yeah.
difficult for me to pick up a book since law school.
Yeah.
It makes me want to hurt myself picking
Yeah,
up a book.
absolutely.
It's sickening.
Do you even have free time? That's my big, I don't have free time to read books anymore.
I don't, I say that, but then like I am scrolling at times that I could be reading. So I'm gonna be hard on myself and say, yeah, I do have free time, kind of, that I could be
Yeah.
doing something productive with my life.
I guess when you, I feel like, well, if you're not driving, you could be reading.
Or listening to an audiobook would count.
I'm not into that, but I know a lot of people are.
It's not the best. It's not like reading. It's I will like it makes me sleepy and
Right.
I don't love it. And I'm an active reader, so I like to highlight and make little notes on the side and do all of those things, but not if
Even
it's
with
like
like
a
normal books.
No, if it's a nonfiction or if it's a fiction book, I'm not gonna like highlight. But if it's a book I want to remember or take notes on, or if it's like a self-help book or whatever, like I'm gonna be taking notes,
Yeah.
because I need it. But
What was, damn, I wish Kylie was here for this part because I'm like trying to think in the back of my head, what were some of the biggest shit that happened? Like, what was some of the big topics of this year?
ooh, let's
You
just
know, she
Google.
would have a total list for us right now of like,
Yeah.
well, first of all,
Should we
never
ask Chat
hated.
GPT?
Ask them what were the big things of this year? I've never hated Jennifer Lopez more. I feel like this was the year of me
Oh.
just, I'm like, I'm done. I saw a picture
Oh,
of her
I hate
today
her.
wearing some dress that was like barely there. And I was like, dude, you look phenomenal, but I don't care because I don't like you. Right.
I put in my chat GPT like what were the most memorable moments of 2025 or 2024, and it's like telling me work stuff because I have like my work stuff in chat GPT. Like no bitch, that's
No,
not
tell me
the
the world. We don't know
no, that's not what
that.
I want to hear. Oh, this is horrible. This is horrible. Number
No,
one
it's
is
probably all
Israel
horrific
Hamas
things.
conflict, Russian political landscape. That's not
Love
what
it.
we're here for.
Hi, this is Kylie coming to you from the editing room, and I just have to say the next 20 minutes of footage was Holly and Kate insufferably trying to remember the year and also trying to remember what the term pop culture was. Instead of making you listen to that, I'm bringing you my own list of my favorite 2024 moments. In no particular order, kind of in order, in 2024, we started off with the Megan Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj beef. If you go back, we all had our stances. Gypsy Rose was released, is getting a divorce, and she's pregnant now. J-Lo flop era, we covered that extensively. OJ Simpson died, rest in hell. Four Seasons Orlando Baby, who I think was overrated. Let me know your thoughts. Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef, I think we talked about that. Hog Tua, confession, I've actually never seen the video, and I still cannot escape that girl. Ray Gunn at the Olympics, what a time. P. Diddy, all that freaking baby oil. And on a happier note, Mudang, the little baby hippo. Thing to wrap it up in December, Luigi Mangione. And with that, I'll take you back to Kate and Holly. Love y'all.
I
Oh
got
my God, Holly got engaged.
engaged.
Why do we even say that? That was 100% on our 2024 list.
Engaged.
Holly got engaged. Kylie and I got to be there and honestly set it all up. I mean,
Yeah.
that was a.
Millie turned one.
My baby turned one. She's crying in the background right now. I hear her.
Can't hear. She's a
It's
sap.
25 minutes, 22 minutes past her bedtime, but she's fine. She can suck it up.
Do it for the pod, Millie.
She
Oh,
turned
what is she
one.
do?
You got engaged. Kylie. Oh, Kylie, what'd you do this year?
Yeah, she was looking for a house in New
Yeah,
Orleans.
we've been there, done that. She ain't doing that shit anymore. Because I'm
Well,
trying to
what's
tell
that?
her
First
not
of all,
to
that's a
move.
horrible idea.
Yes, we, Kylie. Do not move to New Orleans. We, Holly and
It's,
I have now
I'm not
agreed.
going to
And you know what?
say anything about New Orleans.
All of our followers will also post on this and be like, don't move. No, I'm trying to convince Kylie wherever I move that she should move.
No, I want Charlie.
She's not going to Arkansas.
She what she did before.
And I don't think she would again. It would be cool to have all of us back there. Oh my God.
My
Or
gosh, can you
find a place.
imagine
Yeah.
cost of living?
2025
Come on, girl.
resolution. Revolution.
Hi, Kylie from editing again. First off, I want to say, I did a lot this year. I don't remember either. Second, I will move to wherever if you buy me a house there. Okay, bye.
And that's all we got for you. Nothing else is probably happening. None of us are getting more pets. None of us are probably having more babies. I mean,
Yep.
this is it, you guys. This is the best we're getting. We're just gonna get stronger with the podcast.
Downhill from here, baby.
Yeah, it's all downhill. Podcast re revolution resolution. I keep saying revolution is
More
to
listeners.
more
More,
listeners.
more,
We're going
more.
to start making videos on TikTok, and I might actually wear makeup to video recordings. Who
Oh,
knows?
nobody cares about that.
Who knows? All right, let's wrap this up. I feel like we've just talked too much.
And with that, I am going to go and pick out Kate and Kylie's house right next to me. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Over My Dead Pod. If you like this episode, please like, follow, subscribe, share, send it to your friends, and follow us on Over My Dead Pod.
Bye.